I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Trump kicked off the ballot in Colorado, at least the primary ballot, and the Colorado Supreme Court affirming a lower court decision and citing the 14th Amendment of what people sometimes call the disqualification clause. And we're now joined by Mike O'Neill from the Landmark Legal Foundation. I'm not going to lie, Mike, I was surprised when I saw this ruling. Let's start with just the balls and strikes. What did they actually rule, and what's the reasoning they're giving to say Donald Trump's not allowed on the primary ballot?
Right. They are ruling that Donald Trump is disqualified from appearing on the ballot from under the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. They affirmed the lower court's finding that Donald Trump engaged in insurrection in his actions on January 6th and the days leading up to January 6th, specifically his speech on the Ellipse, tweets he sent out,
his appearance at the Ellipse, and because of that, the Democrats think, oh, Christmas came early. You are listening to Mike Ferguson from The Mike Ferguson Show today, and his interview guest was representing the Landmark Legal Foundation, part of the Ronald Reagan Legal Foundation, closely watching what was happening in Colorado as they were underway to take Donald Trump off the primary ballot and off the general ballot. And we've got other states that have been setting up to do the same thing. Some battleground states, Michigan, Arizona, and others. We're going to break a lot of it down for you. But that interview Mike Ferguson and Gabe had this morning with Mike O'Neill, on the value of this ruling and what it really means. This is going to be a very big case going forward. And now it's headed, obviously, to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's going to have to expedite to get a ruling out before we actually get to election deadlines. That could be by spring, but there's still a lot to be considered. Keep in mind that Colorado was not a state Trump was likely to win anyway. It's gone blue. It was purple, and now it's pretty much blue. But there are enough, even inside the state of Colorado, that don't like the way things have been going under the Biden administration, and they want to change. They may not want Trump, but they want to change. And if it came down to just Trump or Biden, they might well go to Trump or just stay home. But if you take Trump off the ballot, well, then things change rapidly. But let me remind you, even the Democrat governor is going against Joe Biden and calling him out for not enforcing the border, as she says, I'm going to have to activate the National Guard to protect our southern border, which is the duty of the federal government. We're going to do a lot of breakdown on this interview, one that Mike Ferguson had on his program this morning, and other views as well. First, let me set the stage for you. Thanks for joining us again. Here we are, December 2023. And no, Democrats, it's not Christmas time yet, so don't look at that Colorado ruling as being your Christmas package. The Grinch may steal that package before it's over with. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back, and I'm reminding you every day when we're on the air for you, from 6 to 8 p.m., we are streaming video. You can watch the program going to News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, and of course on Rumble channels. If you miss anything, it's always available as a podcast, video and or audio at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Look, listen when you choose, and then please share with others, will you? So here we have this ruling that came out that said that Trump basically violated a part of the Constitution, at least that's the base ruling. Now, you have to understand, this ruling has a lot of question marks around it. We're talking about the 14th Amendment, Section 3. That disqualification basically boils down to this point. A public official is not eligible to assume public office if they, quote, engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States or had given aid or comfort to enemies thereof. That's the base of it. But we're watching right now, again, an opportunity by the left to do what they can to weaponize that ruling or that wording of the Constitution to their benefit. Mike Ferguson pointed that out in his interview this morning.
The lower court did conclude that he engaged in insurrection. The lower court, however, declined to remove him from the ballot because technically they ruled, the judge ruled that he was concluded that he was not an officer of the United States. And the 14th Amendment, Section 3, applies to officers of the United States. Well, the Colorado Supreme Court disagreed with that lower court's conclusion regarding officer of the United States. They agreed with the lower court's findings stating that he did engage in insurrection. They also concluded that he did qualify as an officer of the United States. In other words, the office of the presidency is encompassed within the language of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Therefore, he is ineligible to serve as the appear on the ballot for the presidential primary and also subsequently the presidential election.
Okay, that was going to ask about that too. Yeah.
They did technically stay their decision pending a Supreme Court appeal. So as of right now, the status quo holds. The lower court's decision holds. In other words, his name will still appear on the ballot. However, they said at the very beginning of their opinion, he has to appeal this to the Supreme Court. If he doesn't appeal it, then our decision will go into effect. Well, of course, obviously, they've stated the Trump attorneys have stated that he is appealing this to the United States Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court's decision will, the Colorado Supreme Court's decision will be stayed pending an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Now, the view of the left is quick to understand as well. Then again, you were listening to the Mike Ferguson interview this morning with Mike O'Neill, the Landmark Legal Association, also with the Ronald Reagan Legal Foundation. Their view is promoting liberty and fighting tyranny. Well, we need that right now because I'm looking at a piece written by the CNN senior political analyst, and he said the Colorado Supreme Court has just decided the U.S. Constitution still matters. After all, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is right there in the document, designed to prohibit people who've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution and then participated in an insurrection, and I stress that, an insurrection against the United States from holding elected or appointed office. And on Tuesday night, the court found that former President Donald Trump should be removed from the state ballot because he did just that. There are still a lot of questions around that. You have to keep in mind also that this ruling is just a ruling by the Colorado Supreme Court made up of 7 Democrats. There's no chance at all that you're going to see any daylight of conservatism on that court. And the way this is written by the CNN piece, they basically are raising the question, you'll love the way they phrase it, did the Colorado Supreme Court just save America from Donald Trump? Well, many would say, yes, yes, thank God. And others say, no way in hell. On the Mike Ferguson Show today, Gabe Pfeiffer also had a question for O'Neill.
Good morning, Mike. Gabe Pfeiffer here. So this case sounds a little more complicated than I was even originally thinking, because the lower court's finding was that he did engage in insurrection. Now, is that per federal law or state law? What legal?
Right.
Yeah. Who's defining statement we're defining?
Sure.
It. Yeah.
I'm following you exactly. Well, it's an interesting thing. The lower court ruled by clear and convincing evidence by the standard that they actually just proffered. Exactly. What was the question here? What constitutes insurrection? That's right. That's exactly the heart of the matter here. Well, the court said his actions are analogous or it fell within the purview of what the drafters of Section 3 contemplated when they wrote when they used the term insurrection. Now, let's keep in mind what was that? What was the 14th Amendment Section 3? That was applicable to Confederate soldiers, Confederate generals, Confederate politicians, and individuals who engaged in rebellion right after, during the Civil War.
In other words, if they served in the Confederacy during the Civil War, yes, they would not be allowed to go back to their states, then run for members of Congress. That was the intent of it. And the other key point here, Donald Trump, and I pointed out when they originally moved forward with the impeachment and all the other charges they keep piling up, where is the insurrection charge against Donald Trump? That would be a criminal charge. Where is it? It doesn't exist. No one at any point has actually been able to state he's charged with insurrection. But never mind, to the left, this is happy day. Maybe. Rachel Maddow.
I think in the broad strokes, in terms of our democracy, there are very few magic wands. there are very few sort of magic spells that you cast that make a complex and difficult problem go away. It just doesn't happen very often in our political system. And I think that we shouldn't be under any illusions about the character and the partisan inclinations, among other things, of this current Supreme Court as it is constituted. That said, yeah. This is not a crazy thing for a democracy to do. This is something that was a hallmark of post-war Germany after World War II. This is something that happened to Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil quite recently. This is something that our own Congress did in 1868 after our own Civil War, specifically to preclude anybody from holding office in this country who had engaged in insurrection against this country. And so it's not unheard of, but it would be an incredible wild card.
Yeah, it would be a wild card, especially since, again, Trump has not actually been charged with insurrection. Now, of these Colorado Democrat judges, there were four of them that said he did engage in insurrection on the Supreme Court. Three were not sure. But those four, that's what everyone that is against Trump is hanging their hat on right now. And again, the question being, where's the insurrection? We're going to be joined a little bit later by Hans von Spakovsky, constitutional legal expert from the Heritage Foundation, had also previously served on the Federal Election Commission. He will know some direct answers for us. I want to expand in deeper fashion. But let me give you a little point here. We now have, as of yesterday, another person charged with being inside the Capitol on January 6th, apparently part of the insurrection. This now amounts to 1,230 charges. The latest is a 23-year-old woman from Florida who was seen on camera in front of the Capitol grounds, eventually climbing over equipment to get closer to the Capitol's northwest stairs and then up the upper west terrace of the Capitol, and eventually made her way into the rotunda. And oh my God, she took photographs. Insurrection. Before we get to Hans, let's turn to the latest in Israel's war to destroy Hamas. The Biden White House continues to cave to progressive Hamas sympathizers.
In the United States reportedly went to Israel to wrap up this phase of the war by the end of the year. The Biden administration hopeful that a new lower intensity phase in the fighting could allow more humanitarian supplies to enter the Gaza Strip. The new report raises questions about who will control government aspects of life in Gaza once Hamas leadership is taken out. The Washington Post reports that a 20-page plan was created by the State Department and points to Palestinians controlling the enclave with international oversight. The planning comes as Israel continues to strike Gaza. Over the last day, 300 different targets were hit, including a rocket launching position. Now, that position was used to fire on the Israeli city of Tel Aviv just yesterday.
Just yesterday, they were firing again on Tel Aviv. That was Trey Yinks talking about how the U.S. is still pushing for another ceasefire, even though Israel is still under attack. CBN News ran a clip on what Hamas is trying to do to gain more sympathy by putting some of the hostages in front of a camera.
Hamas released a video of three of the older male hostages pleading with Israel to obtain their release. Chaim Perry said he's being held with other elderly hostages, all with chronic illnesses. He said they feel abandoned and don't want to die as a result of Israeli airstrikes. The three chanting, at all costs, don't throw us away in old age. In a briefing to the nation, IDF spokesman Daniel Hagari spoke directly to the hostages and said that Israel is doing everything it can to get them out.
The video Hamas released in the past hour is an evil terror video. It indicates Hamas brutality toward very old civilians, innocent and in need of medical attention.
Hamas is still holding more than 100 hostages.
And there you have it. They're still holding hostages, including those three old men they put up for everyone to see and feel sorry for. And obviously we would. They're also holding women and children. If Hamas was really concerned about them, wouldn't they release them? No. That's the whole point. It's a propaganda video. And unfortunately, these Israeli men are being used as ploys in it. In the meantime, we're seeing a task force formed to protect vessels up and down the Red Sea because some of the major oil shipment suppliers saying we're not going to use the Red Sea anymore. Because as we get around the choke point around Yemen, we're often being fired upon. Now, the Red Sea runs something like 1,400 miles long from the Mediterranean down to the Gulf of Aden. At its widest point, it's 300, maybe 200 miles wide, 200 miles wide. But as it goes around into the Gulf of Aden from the Red Sea, that is where the Yemen rebels have an opportunity, because it's going past the point of Yemen, to fire upon them and destroy them. Well, John Kirby, National Security Advisor for the White House, says we all understand the value of the Red Sea.
The Red Sea is a conduit for 10 to 15% of all global trade, 8% of global grain trade, and 12% of global seaborne oil trade. Of this total Red Sea trade, Greek, Chinese, Japanese, and German-owned vessels make up 40 to 50% of transits. All that underscores the dependence that these economies have around the world on the strategic trade. But bottom line is, these attacks have to stop. They need to stop. They're unacceptable. The United States, our allies, and our partners will do what we have to do to counter these threats and to protect these ships.
And we're going to get more details on that coming up in the next hour as well. And I need to correct myself. I slipped and said the Gulf of Aden. It's not the Gulf of Aden. It's the Gulf of Aden, which then leads into the Indian Ocean. And, of course, they're coming from the Mediterranean through the Red Sea as its main conduit. All of those oil, grain supplies you were hearing Kirby refer to, and they are vital to the world as a whole. Next hour, more on the Colorado decision and more from the Mike Ferguson Morning Show interview with the landmark legal analyst of the ruling, because there are so many pieces to break down. And in one hand, it might be easy to understand. They want Trump off the ballot. The other hand is, do they have any authority, or what will they do to make sure they have the authority? And we're already having some of the Republican candidates against Trump saying, we don't like this ruling. Vivek Ramaswamy saying, I won't be on the Colorado ballot if he's not. An expert opinion coming up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business, affecting you, your family, clients, Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My guest is an expert in the Constitution, former member of the Election Commission. He's with the Heritage Institution, Hans von Spakovsky. We've had him on numerous times before. Hans, again, welcome back, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me.
First of all, were you surprised by the Colorado ruling?
Well, I knew that it was a liberal court, but I thought that they would be sensible and actually abide by the Constitution and the law. But clearly, four of the judges didn't want to do that. So, of course, we get a split 4-3 decision removing Trump from the ballot.
And, of course, yet at this point, everything stays the same as it moves forward for an appeal. And obviously, that's to the U.S. Supreme Court. How fast do you see that happening? Go ahead.
Oh, I think it'll happen very quickly. I think that the Supreme Court justices will realize how important this case is, particularly because, as you know, Larry, this isn't the only case like this. There are multiple cases in multiple states in which they are trying to get Trump removed from the ballot. And I think, I hope, the court will realize they need to not only take the case, but that they need to then set up an extremely expedited schedule have briefs filed, have a hearing, and make a quick decision before the primary season starts.
Let me get this straight. The lower court, help me understand if I'm incorrect on this. The lower court was basically trying to decide, is he an officer of the government that would fit up under Section 3, 14th Amendment, or was it really the issue of insurrection?
Well, the lower court did, they got it right on saying he's not an officer, a president is not an officer of the United States, and therefore Section 3 of the 14th Amendment doesn't even apply. Well, at that point, the case should have ended. Instead, the judge just couldn't help herself. She had to go on with page after page after page, accusing the president, saying he engaged in insurrection. What the Supreme Court of Colorado did is they said, oh, no, no, no. Section 3 does apply to him. But to do that, they basically had to defy the U.S. Supreme Court. And the way for folks to understand this is very easy. Section 3, which disqualifies you from holding office if you engage in insurrection or rebellion, only applies to you if you were previously an officer of the United States. Now, most people seeing that think, well, of course, the Trump was an officer as president. No, because the U.S. Supreme Court has on multiple occasions in multiple cases, the last just 10 years ago, said that term, officer of the United States, refers only to individuals who've been appointed into positions in the federal government, not people who have been elected. So Joe Biden is not an officer of the U.S., neither is Donald Trump. Merrick Garland, who's the attorney general, he's an officer of the U.S. Why? Because he was appointed to his position and then confirmed by the Senate. So this section doesn't even apply to Donald Trump. And that what do these four judges in the Colorado Supreme Court do? They just ignore what the Supreme Court has said about that.
Will you help me understand, because I'm reading Section 3, disqualification.
Right.
No person shall be, and I'm telling you what you already know, sir. I'm doing it for the audience and for my clarification. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the U.S. or under any state, having previously taken a member's an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States. There is nothing in there that says the president or the vice president says the elector of a president or vice president.
Right.
That's the distinction. Is that clear?
Well, yeah, that's also another reason why this clearly doesn't apply to a president, because they said if you've done all this insurrection rebellion, you can't be a member of Congress and you can't be an elector for president. It very specifically does not say you can't be president or vice president. And in fact, that was another factor in the lower court's decision in Colorado, which once again, the Colorado Supreme Court overthrew. And look, people need to divorce themselves from whether or not they like Donald Trump or hate Donald Trump. The point here is that no state court has the authority, the legal authority of the Constitution, to remove someone from the ballot by misinterpreting and misapplying the U.S. Constitution. That's what's happened here.
Now, the other point that comes to mind here, first of all, this was originally put in place following the Civil War. So
correct.
Folks like, Davis could not go back down in the South, be elected as a member of Congress. That was correct. That and 14 other individuals were mainly the targets of it. Am I wrong about that?
No, that's exactly right. And in fact, as reconciliation happened in the country, Congress did something very interesting. In 1872, they passed what they called an Amnesty Act. And that Amnesty Act basically voided this Section 3 disqualification provision with only a few exceptions. And then in 1898, they passed a second Amnesty Act that got rid of all of the remaining exceptions.
So you're telling me the whole thing is bogus right now?
A lot of constitutional scholars, including me, are saying, yeah, it's gone. But the Colorado State Supreme Court didn't even discuss that issue. There was no mention of these Amnesty Acts anywhere in their opinion.
Well, here's the other thing. If you're charging him with insurrection, I mean, if they're assuming or stating that he's guilty of insurrection, there is not a single criminal charge at any point of any of the impeachments or anything else being leveled by others against Trump right now, a criminal charge of insurrection. Where the hell is the insurrection?
Well, it isn't. And in fact, that's another important factor which the Colorado Supreme Court just glossed over. He's not been indicted for insurrection anywhere. He's not been convicted. And who is it? Who's the legal authority who's got the ability to remove a president? It's Congress. Well, the second impeachment resolution that was accepted by the House, approved by the House in January 2021, they charged Donald Trump with incitement of insurrection. A trial was held in the Senate, and he was acquitted.
Acquitted, yes.
So you have these four judges on the Colorado Supreme Court basically saying, well, we know better than the U.S. Senate, which represents all 50 states. So you basically, you've got these local judges saying, well, he's been acquitted, but we're going to find him guilty of insurrection.
Biden is coming out saying Trump supported an insurrection. Does that make him an insurrectionist to that extent?
Well, if that's the case, then why hasn't his Justice Department criminally charged the president with insurrection?
Excellent
they
point.
Haven't. They haven't.
Now, the other point here is that if this holds, and I'll come to that position from you in a moment, but disenfranchising Colorado voters, does this
yes.
do that if it stood?
Yeah, over 4.5 million of them.
And not just them, the other states are also in play.
Right, and that's the way people need to look at this. This is anti-democratic, because in essence, these four judges are taking away the right of voters to make the decision on whether or not they like Donald Trump, whether they don't like him, and whether they want to vote for him or not. These four judges are saying, we're omnipotent, and we can take that right away from you.
Dare I say that this action sounds like a dictatorship, which I hear Trump is supposedly going to carry out if he gets back in office?
It sounds like a third world banana republic is what it sounds like, where law enforcement and the courts are used to go after political opponents, because that's what's going on here.
So I'm looking at another piece from CNN, as I call them, a state-controlled media. I know they're not really, but they parroted enough, they might as well be. The Supreme Court may decide the 2024 election, and obviously they're basing on this kind of action in Colorado.
How is the Supreme Court supposed to decide the outcome of the election? The only thing they would decide is whether or not Donald Trump can be a candidate or not. Then it will be up to the American people to decide. And apparently CNN doesn't trust the American people to make the right choice.
Well, that's, again, going to bring up so many, whether or not you believe the last election was fully fair. I mean, many of us still have. There are a lot of questions where there was something that was big enough that could sway and change the election. My point had always been from the very beginning when the FBI was telling to keep the Hunter Biden laptop as fiction and it was Russian propaganda, that they immediately put their finger on the scale already regarding the election moving forward. And every vote before a vote was cast, they affected the election. But all of this is, again, going to stir up. They're stealing the election.
Oh, yeah, this is the kind of thing that can lead to election chaos. And I mean, you're talking about the FBI putting their finger on the election. That's what these four judges have done. They are engaging in election interference by taking a candidate off the ballot when they don't have any legal right to do that under any statute or, in fact, under the Constitution. But what they're doing is they're misinterpreting
a
provision of the Constitution to do that.
And your view of what the Supreme Court will end up doing with this?
I think the Supreme Court will take the case, and I think they will overrule the Colorado Supreme Court, which they need to do because there are many other cases just like this proceeding in other states.
And when they do that, are we going to hear from the other side, oh, well, once again, the court's controlled by conservatives and they're ignoring the law?
Yeah, they can make that claim, but they are the ones, in fact, who are making what I consider to be frivolous and meritless arguments and getting some judges to buy into that.
One final 20 seconds here. Are you dismayed by all of this in our Constitution and our nation right now?
Yeah, I'm dismayed by people ignoring the rule of law, and that's what's going on.
Yeah, at several levels. Hans, I thank you very much for your time, as always.
Sure thing.
Yes, sir. Hans von Spakovsky, Merry Christmas, by the way, with the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, there are hearings underway into COVID. Let's begin with one from James Comer in the House. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, the WHO did not step up to the plate. Instead, it aligned itself with the Chinese Communist Party. On December 31st, 2019, Taiwan sent an email to the WHO that warned about a potential outbreak, particularly human-to-human transmission. On January 14th, 2020, ignoring this warning, the WHO, based on information from China, claimed there was no evidence of human-to-human transmission. This tweet contradicted even the WHO's own experts. Then, in June of 2020, the WHO was still claiming there was no transmission of COVID-19. So this was also false. Starting with Ms. Pace and going down the line, do you agree that these statements were not accurate?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Chair. We, of course, are here to really learn the lessons of COVID-19. And one of the things that we have talked about with WHO is the importance of ensuring that we get to the bottom of its origins.
Good. Blah, blah, blah. Huh. That's one of many from the World Health Organization appearing in front of James Comer and other members of the House today as we're trying to get to the bottom of how COVID was so mishandled, and I should say even weaponized against the American people. either as a disease itself or as a way to control the American people. And everything many of us were saying back then, there's no sense making you wear a mask when the mask really don't work. And now they've admitted, that's correct, the mask really don't work. I was in a doctor's office yesterday, or 2 days ago, and everyone in there is wearing a mask. And I even commented to one of the doctors, I don't know why you're having to do this, because it's been stated the masks don't work. Of course, there are other things going around, respiratory illness, the flu, the sniffles. We've all had it. I'm battling it off and on continuously. I don't know if it's part of, quote, long COVID or not. What about you and members of your family? Now, again, I'm not telling you and I'm not shaming you if you are wearing a mask. That's your decision. But when they start instructing medical staff to do it in their facility, what do you think the next step is? If you're coming in here, you got to wear it. Well, there are people in the waiting room that didn't have one on, and some did. Again, personal choice. But James Comer and his House Oversight Committee is moving forward on finding more about the origins of COVID, and, of course, that will involve how it was handled in this nation. If you remember earlier this year, back in March, the House voted unanimously, that would include, in case you don't understand the meaning of the word, I know this audience does, but for the lefties that tune in occasionally, unanimous means everybody got in the pool on this one. That would include Democrats, to declassify U.S. intel information about the origins of COVID-19. That was on basically near the third anniversary of the deadly pandemic. The vote, congressional final vote, was 419-0. Now, yes, we have more members of that in the House, but some had not been seated yet because of disputes over their election or other issues going on. But the vote was 419-0. Maybe they were just absent that day, but there was nobody that was showing as absent, and there's nobody showing declining to vote one way or the other. It went to Joe Biden's desk for him to sign the measure into law. The White House at that time said, well, it's under review. Biden said, I hadn't made the decision whether I'm going to sign the bill. I could care less. The bottom line is the American people need answers. They want answers and certainly deserve them. Now, you've got members of the WHO all coming forward. That's a World Health Organization coming forward and being among the first question. And you heard the question posed by Comer to this one woman with the WHO. I could care less what her name and title are. She represents the WHO. And her answer was, I'm glad you asked the question. We're all interested in finding and getting to the bottom of this. Because now we're forced to. That part she didn't add. And every other member of the panel had very similar type answers. It's just like the university professors did when they showed up in Congress to talk about the poison Ivy League universities and anti-Semitism. They all had pretty much the same wording because they copied off of each other. So it's just echo after echo once you start the question. Now, it's not going to happen right away. But I pointed this out yesterday, and I want to re-stress it to you. The chief figure we want to hear from would be, Dr. Fake. Oh, Dr. Fauci. My fault again. I apologize. Dr. Fake. Fauci. He is going to testify before Congress next month. He's under subpoena to do so. You know, maybe he'll pull a Hunter Biden, go stand outside Congress and saying, I don't want to go behind closed doors. I want a full public hearing. He's going to get that also. But it's going to be behind closed doors to begin with. And it's not going to be just the House. It's going to be the Senate. And one of those that are going to be chairing into him on the Senate side will certainly be Senator Rand Paul, because they're best friends, you know. Yeah, right. Fauci's not getting anything from Paul for Christmas, not even a card. But the former chief White House medical advisor will be testifying before Congress sometime early next year. More than likely, it will be in January. on the investigation into the origins of COVID-19 and the U.S. response. Fauci will be sitting for transcribed interviews in early January, then a public hearing at a later date. And it will mark the first time he's appeared before the Republican-controlled House. He's been in front of the Senate, but Republicans don't control that. And, of course, again, when you're in a hearing, you get a limited amount of time to ask a question. And for the response, if they stalemate and start doing a monologue and start telling funny jokes and ignoring the question entirely, your time is being used up in the process. But in a deposition, in the closed-door hearing, the transcribed interview they're going to do with him, as they would have done with Hunter Biden, you don't get only 5 minutes, not a chance to follow up on the question that they may have left hanging. House Republicans have been spending the last year probing whether Fauci or other government officials took part in any sort of the cover-up. But again, it's going to be his first appearance in front of the Republican-controlled House. I should point out that the Select Committee on the House actually requested a sit-down with Fauci, fake, back in Feb. Let me see, you got January, Feb. Well, that'd be the second month of this year. They requested it, and he just didn't really get around, and they couldn't reach an agreement on the timing and details of the interviews. They finally reached it earlier this month. And the GOP chairman of the committee, Congressman Winthrop, said, "It is time for Dr. Fauci to confront the facts and address the numerous controversies that have arisen during and after the pandemic. And we want to know what kind of cover-up was involved." Fauci's response so far has been, "This is all nonsense. I did my job. I'm an ethical man. In fact, I value my ethics more than my religion." He's made that statement recently. "I'm not a practicing Catholic. I'm Catholic, but not a practicing. My real compass, moral compass," and here I'm adding some words to his language. I don't know why he even used the word moral, but he said, "My guiding source is my personal ethics." That scares the hell out of me. What about you? Now, the other thing to keep in mind, reports continue to come out that even the New York Times was publishing the damage it was done to our children during these lockdowns and Zoom learnings. And remember, the teachers' union were all about it, saying you've got to put kids on Zoom. They've got to stay home. We don't want our teachers exposed. So the kids have to stay home, and they will learn that way. And as soon as they got a chance and COVID starts coming out, quote, from under the cover, behind the mask, the teachers' union starts saying, put them back in the class. We need them. They can't really learn at home. Well, which is it? Can they learn at home or not learn at home? Oh, I get it. It's what works for the union at that time. There are some good, I should say not some, there are many, if not most, teachers that are very good educators. And they know what they lost in that opportunity to deal with youngsters, especially when it comes eye to eye, face to face, and not your face being covered so the children can pick up on your expression, especially younger children, how much that means to their learning ability. And we have fallen farther behind. If we'd followed the basic approach of Finland, Norway, and so forth, they never really shut their schools. In the beginning, we didn't know what we were dealing with. I understand. But as it went on and on and on, much less to say what they did to cripple business and the U.S. economy. And some businesses put out of business forever. They'll never be able to come back, leaving the owners deep in debt, trying to salvage their lives, much less start a new business. I want to turn the table a little bit. I want you to hear from a political commentator on how Biden's troubles just keep escalating. that, according to him, Biden is in a doom loop, or as a pilot, I would call it a death spiral. That means you start going around and around and around and going down. No way you can pull out of it. Well, there is, but you better know what you're doing. And I don't think Biden does. Victor Davis Hanson, in his opinion, when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think he's in a doom loop. It's not just the polls. None of his agenda is polling. Anything he's done is polling 50%. He's got some really problems with the Biden family conglomerate. Finally, the news of their skullduggery is... It's unassailable. And then in addition to that, he's in severe cognitive decline. And when you add all of that up, corruption, decline, low polls, and unpopular agenda, the result is we're in ennui. There's lethargy now. We've ceded the Red Sea over to the Yemeni terrorists. You can't navigate it. We've had 125 attacks on our installations in Iran, and then we're not doing anything. There's no border. It's not that it's porous. It doesn't exist. And then they're infighting to take up that vacuum in the White House, because we hear that Kamala Harris thinks we should be more sympathetic to Hamas, or that people are saying we've got to outlaw natural gas, but on the same time, we've got to produce more gas and oil than we ever have. So because of this decline and this vacuum, people are freelancing around him with different agendas that are not compatible, and overseas people see nothing's getting done, and they're taking advantage of that vacuum, and they're our enemies.
And our enemies are taking advantage of the lack of leadership we have in the White House. Our commander-in-chief is missing in many ways. Now, Victor Davis Hanson is a political commentator, military historian, writes often for the Wall Street Journal, National Review, the Washington Times, and the New York Times. Very well respected. And yes, you would say he's more conservative than progressive, but I consider him more independent in the sense that he speaks the truth, not fashioning it for one side or the other. And what he was pointing out is that Biden's entire world is crumbling around him, or as he referred to it, he's in a doom loop. It goes over and over and over again. And when your own staff is beginning to whisper behind your back and not sure what to do, and when your own party is questioning, are you capable of moving forward, but they don't have a backup plan. They went into this, they never had a plan B. Therefore, they have no plan C, D, E, F, go through the rest of the alphabet. He mentioned Kamala Harris, her ratings sinking to a record new low, according to a Monmouth University poll. Now, this is making Democrats fear she might not be the best member of the White House to advocate for public policy or stay on board. The Monmouth polling finding that Harris's rating at an historic low. In March of 2023, the same survey found her at 26% approval rating. So she was okay. Now, not great, but okay. And now it's dropping even more. And they point out a lot that she just has a difficulty in trying to answer questions. They point to how she tried to convey a coherent statement about the future of abortion, saying that we are guided by what we see that can be, unburdened by what has been. Do you want to spend time breaking that sentence down, explaining it, diagramming it? Oh, there's a word many of you might not be familiar with, diagramming a sentence. But her statements, as they've often said, amount to word salad. At one point, she spent four times within 32 seconds trying to note the significance of the passage of time. Another time, struggled to find the word culture. But on the bus, the big bus, the wheels go round and round, she said. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.